your company does business with the federal government, or your agency does business with companies all over the area and all over the country, and in some cases all over the world. What does that company owe the area that it does business in? What does it owe locality, the region that it does business in, and what is its responsibility to other than its customers? An interesting question that gets raised time to time, in particular about the federal contracting community. And I'm pleased to welcome to talk about that issue Rick Kiernan of L3. It's nice to see you again, Rick. This is an issue you're passionate about, and I'm glad we finally have a chance to sit down and talk about it. It's good to see you.
Thank you very much, Francis. Good to be back.
What exactly is in your craw about how companies work within the communities that they're in and not just sell stuff to people?
I think over the years, as any business, profit-making services or products is going to do, you're necessarily going to get involved with a marketing budget, advertising, and these are just paid messages that are put out targeted for a specific audience. But I think what fails there is that the reputation management and the branding of a corporation goes far beyond the product or service that you're offering. And I think there is some benefit at looking at outreach within the community, wherever your corporate headquarters may be located or your subsidiaries. And I think by being a good neighbor, by participating in community projects, not only is there external benefit, but there's also internal benefit to your own employees.
Mm-hmm. We see the pictures all the time in the trade magazines and sometimes in the newspapers like the Post and so on about John Smith, CEO of XYZ company, and he's standing there with one of those big checks, which I think are very cool looking, mm-hmm. but don't necessarily signify a particular amount of commitment on the part of a company. If you think about, you know, a check for $5,000 or $10,000 sounds like a lot to me if I'm the manager of the little league that's getting the money, but in the realm of a company that bills a couple of billion dollars a year and grosses more than that, it's a drop in the bucket. How is what you're talking about different than that kind of initiative?
I'll take the metaphor you've just used of the little league. A good example of that might be is you and I might work for a corporation. You might be in the accounting department, and I might be in the sales department, and we're in a large corporation. But we don't interact with each other too much during the work week from 8 to 5. However, if we go to that little league and we are coaches on a Saturday morning, mm-hmm. and we happen to volunteer our time to do that, and oh, by the way, we work for this particular corporation, a couple of things happen. Number one, it gets a little bit more substantive and has more value if we're giving of our time to help these little guys on the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I get to know you. So internally within the workforce, like-minded people coming together with a shared experience does an awful lot for the company. And if you go to advertising, there's a tend for it to be monolithic. In mm-hmm. other words, these are the corporate characteristics of our company. We're ethical, we're dependable, we're reliable, and we give you a pretty good price for the product or service. I think that pushes towards a likeness. Our company is all the same. And I think what I'm suggesting with corporate social responsibility is that there's strength in diversity,
mm-hmm.
so that the individual employees, when they come together and they happen to be at a Rotary Club meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning before they come to the workplace, and they happen to be good neighbors working in the same neighborhood where the corporate headquarters is located, the word begins to spread that this corporation is a good neighbor. Mm-hmm. They're on the corner of this street and that street. But, you know, when it comes to parking, when it comes to what they do, I've seen them out at the soup kitchens. I've seen them out at the shelters helping out.
Mm-hmm. What is the benefit to the company there, I think, is pretty obvious. Creates a sense of, as you said, of good neighborness. Talk about what it means, though, for the individuals, both on a personal level and as a component, then, of the workforce.
Mm-hmm. I think most of us come to our work as competent people, competency being a combination of attitude, knowledge, and skills, and we bring those experiences in. And I think when we contribute to that skill, we're kind of limited, and we don't really look at the heart and soul of the individual and the heart and soul of the employees who make up that company. So I think by being more diverse and showing the various abilities that our individual employees have, it benefits the community. I think the other thing it does is externally, if you look at a perception of a corporation as being cool and calculating and somewhat callous and only profit-oriented,
mm-hmm.
this softens that particular image because there is more than just the bottom line, and I think that enhances the reputation. and lets the competitors know, and it also lets the neighbors know that we're glad to have this corporation operating in our community mm-hmm. because they go above and beyond.
Yeah. The cynic in me, I guess, is going to say, well, that's exactly the point of it, and that's the only point of it is to change image. What are the benefits behind the scenes for the company? What's the get-give equation? And also, I'm wondering whether that's such a bad thing, or maybe I'm just a little more cynical than I should be.
Well, I think if you look at some, as I use the example of our own company, if you look at the things that we benefit, it might be during the year, not just the oversized check that is presented, you know, that goes in the newspaper, but when you sponsor a gala or you sponsor a dinner for paralyzed veterans, for wounded warriors, or in some cases, the causes that we support in our corporation, stopping child abuse now, having golf tournaments where wounded warriors with prosthesis can participate side by side with your own employees, I think both sides benefit. Mm-hmm. It's a symbiotic relationship. And I think relationships are established.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the Rotary before and some of the other clubs that are here, the Kiwanis and others. By having your employees participate in them, they get to know people who are in other business fields, people who work for nonprofits, and people who are in the community. So there's a lot of cross-fertilization of, oh, I didn't know you did that, and you didn't know I did this.
Yeah.
So I think from an individual point of view, it gets beyond just the day-to-day work that everybody does. And it takes your corporation out into the community in a very substantive way.
In the years that I've been involved with the federal community and the contracting community that serves it, I've been surprised at how, at least to me, it seems like people, the word gets around a lot faster in this community than it does in a lot of other small communities like this that I've worked in. That if Company X is involved with whatever, they don't have to do a whole lot of advertising about that particular thing. People hear the word pretty quick that somebody's involved with this or somebody cares about this issue or whatever. Word spreads pretty fast.
You're exactly. Word of mouth, and we call it, you know, the barbershop theory. Years mm-hmm. ago, men would sit in the barbershop on Saturday mornings and talk about things. That message had much more credibility and validity than any advertisement or marketing campaign you could put on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it does because people touch people. And if you're working with children, if you're working with people who are a little bit down on their luck right now, it lifts both of you up, and mm-hmm. I think it helps both sides.
Rick Kiernan's Vice President of Strategic Communications for L3 Communications, my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose. We'll be back in just a moment.
Latest scoop on telework from the biggest executives in the federal government. Listen at 12 noon on Tuesday, November 16th, and hear Bill Piott from GSA and Pamela Buddha from DOD discuss success stories and initiatives to increase telework in federal agencies. Tune in at 12 noon, November 16th, to hear from top tech leaders from the federal government, Intel, HP, and Microsoft, to learn why telework is important for the future federal workforce. Hear the Fed's telework panel only on Federal News Radio, Tuesday, November 16th at 12 noon.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Tradition never graduates, so mark your calendars to spend the day in Annapolis with friends, family, and Navy football Saturday, November 20th. Kickoff is at 3:30 p.m. Cheer on the midshipmen at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium as they hit the gridiron against the Arkansas State Red Wolves for the last home game of the season. It's Senior Day, so don't miss out. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com. Order today and join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Enjoy fall in Annapolis and see quarterback Ricky Dobbs lead the midshipmen as they take on Arkansas State Saturday, November 20th at 3:30 for Senior Day. Catch all the Navy football excitement where tradition never graduates. Order your tickets today. Call 1-800-US-4-NAVY or visit NavySports.com. That's 1-800-US-4-NAVY, NavySports.com.
Why does a waiting room have to feel like a waiting room? And does a stress test have to be so stressful? At Kaiser Permanente, we don't think it does, and we've made the changes to prove it. With brand new state-of-the-art facilities opening all around the Mid-Atlantic, like the Kaiser Permanente Capitol Hill Medical Center, we're poised to become the leader in healthcare for the D.C. and Baltimore area. With easier access to primary and specialty care, full-service radiology, lab tests, and pharmacy services, we're offering more choices than ever before. Our staff of top-notch physicians is growing by more than 200, providing greater access to care. And our innovative electronic medical records allow members to view their own medical history 24/7. Plus, members can email their doctor's office, check most lab results, refill prescriptions, and even choose their primary care and OBGYN, all online. The future in healthier care is already here. Find it at kp.org/midatlantic. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. The Federal Trade Commission just announced it's hiring Princeton professor Ed Felton as its chief technology officer. He starts in January, but we'll talk to him today about what he hopes to accomplish. Telework can be challenging, but the latest thinking, telework might be a team sport. And we'll have an update on the TSP board meeting this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're back with In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Rick Kiernan of L3 Communications, and we're talking about social responsibility at the corporate level. And one of the things we were talking about in the first segment, Rick, is the idea that you have people at your company that are doing a whole lot of different things and encouraging that. I think anybody at any company of any size, if they did a little survey, if they asked around a little bit, would find out they have a guy over here that's probably a member of the Kiwanis Club, and they have a lady here who's involved with raising money for breast cancer research, and people that are have their fingers in a whole bunch of different kinds of outreach efforts, not intentionally and not consciously. What are some of the early steps in your view for bringing those together, for tying those threads together, where maybe you don't necessarily have 50 people that are all doing the same thing right off, but just that you have some sense of kind of an inventory of what all your people are involved in and where they're putting their efforts away from the office?
I think one of the ways that we've done in our company is through the introduction of an intranet, whatever you want to call it. And that's a place where the employees can go to get information, both official and unofficial. It usually has a message from the CEO for a particular monthly message with a theme. But it also gives a chance, either through a photo on a cut line or a short article, to talk about just some of the programs that we're talking about right here. And I think what happens very, very quietly is that when you go to the InfoNet and you begin to scan it for information, to check your pay voucher or to find out an HR policy, all of a sudden you notice that the young lady down here in accounting, you know, she's been working over here on breast cancer. Someone over here, this young man, has been helping coach Little Leagues on Saturday morning. You begin to feel like, boy, this is a pretty good company. Look what my folks are doing here, and I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
And then the next thing that rings in is, what can I do? So now you're in the elevator, and you run into Francis Rose, and you say, hey, I noticed that you were coaching Little League on Saturdays. You know, I've got a little spare time. Maybe I can't make it every Saturday, but, you know, if I can come down, where do you do it, and how do you do it? And it begins to spread like, I think, a grease spot, if you will.
I have plenty of those.
Yeah, but it makes the company feel better. I think it enhances the morale within the company so that when they come to work, you say, yeah, I do this and that and everything else, but I'm pretty fortunate that I don't have to worry about, you know, anything that's going on in another department because I can share it.
Yeah,
and I think it builds a team. And then externally, of course, what it has is you have all these people from one corporation who are showing up. And particularly as we discussed in the academic world, somebody volunteers to be a guest teacher, goes in and gives a class. the next thing you know, after class, one or two youngsters stand back and say, "Boy, I'd like to talk to you. You know, I'm thinking about a career here or there." And one thing leads to another. And then you invite them to come in for an afternoon, and the next thing you know, it spreads like that.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that intranet concept to me is fascinating, because it sounds like a perfect overlay for like a Facebook type application, where you start a company Facebook page and allow people to network into it, and pretty soon, yeah, you have this whole network developed that. The great thing for the company, it didn't cost you much, and as you say, becomes a repository for all of these things that your people are involved in.
Yeah, and the good thing about it is, and this goes back to the original remarks you made at the opening of this segment, it's not self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's not something you shout about. The InfoNet is just for the people in that company.
Right.
And I have found over the years that the quiet volunteers, the men and the women who do things, prefer to do it very quietly. Mm-hmm. And so you begin to learn a lot about that person over in business development or that person in HR that you didn't know before.
Yeah.
You knew that he or she processed, you know, the benefits for medical or dental reimbursement, but you didn't know, you know, they were a den mother on the weekends.
Right.
And you didn't know that they were working with abused children.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a mutual respect for each other, and I think it gives you as a corporation just a character and a humanity you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. How do you decide to get into something like this? What are the steps that you take about trying to figure out how much money you do want to devote to it, at least to mm-hmm. start something like this up?
Well, we do it two ways. And you look at, okay, if there's a gala coming up and we can sponsor a few seats and it's going to be for Wounded Warriors or it's going to be for the USO benefiting paralyzed veterans, what level could we sponsor at, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000? But beyond that, we might say, gosh, you know, we have 10 of these events this year and our budget was X number of dollars. You can then contact the people and say, we may not be able to contract or participate as we did at this level as we did last year. Is there a VIK? Is there a value in kind?
Mm-hmm.
Can we come early and help you set up? Could we transport some of the Wounded Warriors from Walter Reed to this particular event? Would that be helpful to you?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a lot more that needs to be done for each one of these events than just writing a check and making a donation. And they very much appreciate the transportation, the setup, the invitations, the RSVPs, and all the admin that goes into it.
Yeah, I can see that being especially valuable for small companies that maybe don't even have a budget for this kind of external outreach. That are kind of squeezed, but still want to participate and want to contribute something above and beyond, mm-hmm. as we've talked about, just cutting a check for something.
Yes. And I think, academics is another area that we've looked in. It's got tremendous growth and opportunity. You can start as young as middle schools with a career day and, go over and speak to them about what you do, how you began at their age to have an interest in what you've done. And then that can lead as they get into high school into something else. And there might even be an opportunity for them to come to work and to see what it is you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had that grow into an intern program in excess of, you know, 40 or 50 youngsters over the last 10 years.
Wow.
That have actually come and participated at our corporation. And the next thing you know, maybe a third of them become full-time employees.
Mm-hmm. That's where you start to determine a direct return on investment, where you can say we invested this much and we've got these X number of employees that I would imagine are much more highly devoted to your company, more loyal to your company, and buy into the mission of your company a lot more than just somebody you hired out of an ad in the newspaper or Craigslist or whatever.
You're exactly right. And, you know, you look at Facebook and you look at social media and you look at blogs, and like-minded people come together mm-hmm. and talk about common interests. And so for every intern that has benefited from being a protege and has come along and grown, they're going to talk to three or four people, and that's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And word of mouth is just tremendous.
Rick Kiernan of L3 Communications, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back to talk more about corporate social responsibility when In Depth with Francis Rose continues in just a moment.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher on news of a rise in October retail sales. They were up 1.2% in October. That's nearly twice the increase expected. Meantime, businesses boosted inventories for a ninth straight month in September. The Dow's up 73 points, the Nasdaq higher by 8. Gasoline prices are headed higher again as Thanksgiving approaches. The national average for a gallon of unleaded regular gasoline is at $2.89. That's just 3 cents off of the highest price of the year back in May. The higher prices aren't because of increased demand, but gasoline is following the price of oil. Right now, oil futures are at $85 a barrel. Lowe's reporting a 19% rise in third quarter profits. The home improvement retailer says revenue was weaker than expected, and it's lowering its guidance for the year. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm always looking for easy holiday entertaining ideas.
Member Tiffany Hurst on the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event.
I get to try appetizers, entrees, ooh, cheesecake.
And more. Plus, join at the event for a $10 gift card to use at the day after Thanksgiving event.
I sample, then I serve. It's a mom's job.
Look for the insert in your paper Wednesday, then visit the event November 19th to the 21st, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m. Not a member? Sign up and get your bonus gift card. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Would helium make opera sound less formal and stuffy?
Qua la parrucca, presto la barba.
Tutto mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, donna ragazzi, vecchia fanciulla, qua la sanguigna, presto biglietto. Figaro.
Be like the 4 million who switched to GEICO last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient mix of independent and retail providers and industry-leading benefits for glasses, contacts, and discounts on LASIK procedures. United Health Healthcare Vision is the clear choice. In fact, 9 out of 10 United Healthcare Vision Fed VIP members would recommend their plan to family and friends. The Fed VIP open season period for federal employees and retirees runs through December 13th. Don't miss out on this opportunity to protect your most precious gift, the gift of sight. For more information about their benefit plans and how to enroll, visit United Healthcare Vision at myuhcvision.com/fedvip. That's myuhcvision.com/fedvip. If you want industry-leading vision benefits and a convenient provider network, look no further than United Healthcare this open season.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
I'm J.J. Green. The Pentagon houses approximately 26,000 personnel. It has 5 sides, 5 floors, 2 basement levels, and 5 rings per floor. Despite 17.5 miles of corridors, it takes a maximum of 7 minutes to walk between any 2 points in the building. Located just outside the nation's capital, its reach is far beyond the U.S. And if you have a story about issues related to the Pentagon or beyond, email me at jgreen@wtopnews.com.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Treating high cholesterol. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. High cholesterol can put your health at risk. While some treat it with exercise and good diet, others must use medicine to control their cholesterol levels. Dr. Carolyn Clancy is the director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. AHRQ offers a guide to those medicines.
The guide offers plain language information about high cholesterol and how this common medical condition is treated. The guide also describes different kinds of medicines that are used to treat it and their potential side effects.
Dr. Clancy says understanding this information gives you the power to discuss with your doctor which treatment is right for you. The Treating High Cholesterol Guide is available online in English and Spanish. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Connect with more than 800 fellow contract management professionals. The Government Contract Management Conference is a must-attend on December 9th and 10th. The National Contract Management Association presents more than 20 educational sessions to answer the most complex questions, plus prominent speakers from CACI, the Department of Defense, the Boeing Company, and more. To learn more, visit ncmahq.org today.
There's a new show in town for the connected, curious, and innovative. Chris Dorabeck hosts the brand new Dorabeck Insider. Weekdays from 3 to 7, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Only Chris has the energy and the Rolodex to bring you inside the decision-making that changes your workday. He challenges conventional wisdom by asking his high-profile guests about what worked and what didn't. The Dorabeck Insider is information sharing on the radio in the Government 2.0 world. The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Rick Kiernan of L3 Communications, my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 today. And we're talking about the process of engaging stakeholders to bring them together in a corporate social responsibility effort. The bottom line that I think is the most interesting part of this, Rick, is the idea that a company wants to get beyond the concept of we want to look good in the community. That's, to me, not important because that's easy to do. The company wants to get beyond the image building and all that kind of thing and really engage. What are some efforts that you've seen companies try in that area that haven't worked, and in what ways have they been less than successful?
I think whenever they try and get into, as you have mentioned, the image building, people today are very discerning, whether it's because of the internet, because they're savvy with all the cable, all the radio stations and information that is out there right now. And so you got to really, really be crafty and creative if you're going to come up with something that's an advertisement or an advertorial that is not seen for what it is right away. So I think, as you have mentioned before, the picture and the photo of the oversized check, the grip and the grin, I think just simply the donation of something, some money, that doesn't work too well. I think even when people go to trade shows now, they're very careful on how they present their image and how they present their service or product. So advertising itself has to become more genuine, if you will. So I think you see a shift towards testimonials. You see a lot of testimonials, and they seem to have more validity than somebody who is obviously from an agency, you know, who's been crafted to give the right message. So I think the shallowness, if you will, challenges Madison Avenue to come up with a different way to do it. I think in itself we have to be careful that all the things you and I have been talking about, the programs in the community, we have to be careful how we highlight them. And as you say, word of mouth is much more effective than something that is, here is a good deed, and it's, you know, all of a sudden going to be used, you know, on a slip sheet or a tear sheet, you know, for a press packet.
Yeah.
But I think being superfluous and being disingenuous in advertising is quickly seen. And so that's why it's important that the people in the company, the people in the community get to know each other. There can be accidents. In other words, you know your corporate building is located. God forbid there's a fire. God forbid there's a flood. God forbid there's something that takes over. If you have been preemptive and you have established community relations and you've been a good neighbor and that is already in place, then whatever happens will not be a distraction and will not be an irritant to the people who live in that particular neighborhood. You know, the bane of Washington is traffic. So if there is something, whether it's construction or something that is man-made and something has come up, if you've been preemptive and you've built good relationships, then you're a good neighbor. And people know that and they're going to respect you for it. And it's going to enhance your reputation.
Mm-hmm. There are always going to be people who are cynical like me. Mm-hmm. There's no way around that. And, I have talked to people in the past who say, well, I don't want to get involved with something like this because people are just going to think the most negative thing possible. And that's particularly true in the contracting community because people, by and large, thanks to whether it's media outlets or the actual actors themselves, people don't have a terrific image of the federal contracting community. What's your advice to somebody who thinks who is thinking that direction?
I'll give you one illustration that I think was very successful. We had a large contract perhaps 15 years ago, and it was over in the Balkans. It was overseas. And in a very quiet way, we brought together about three different entities. Number one, it was the people that sell shoes out in Eugene, Oregon, the Nike folks. We brought together an eye doctor from Massachusetts, volunteered her time. And we brought together a young athlete, African-American, out of Harvard. And what we did is we put together a program called Hoops for Hope. And what it did is it targeted orphanages over in the Bosnia area. And they realized that children over there did not have eyeglasses, nor had they ever been had their eyes examined. And so by bringing those three things together, basketball, shirts, shoes, it was like the Pied Piper. Mm-hmm. So the children would come from the different hamlets and all and begin to see a basketball demonstration. The next thing you know, they were lining up, getting their eyes examined. The next thing you know, they were getting a pair of eyeglasses. The next thing you know, they were able to read. Little or no publicity on that except by word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you, everybody benefited from that in a very good way. 4 years later, some of those children were on scholarships to go to some of the colleges down in the southeastern part of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing led to another. Somebody heard about it. Somebody wanted to donate. So one thing beget another thing.
Mm-hmm. Just spreading the word and building relationships seems like the key part of this, like so much of life.
No, it is. It is. And I think people are very quick to see, as we have said here today, that on the InfoNet, when people feel good about themselves and people feel like they become part of a team, part of a corporation, just like it was for you and I when we were younger, whether it was a fraternity or a school or a college team that we were on or a club, then when somebody does come on in a little jaded way or in a very cynical way, all of a sudden now you have a chorus of voices that says, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a couple of examples.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think the message comes back and says, wait a minute now. Let me correct that for you.
Strikes me that this is something that does require some patience on the part of the company that's involved with backing this up.
Yeah, it does. And I think once you plant a few seeds, it comes back. And then you get a little alumna or a little alumni group of people who want to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have found, particularly with the intern program, is if you've had something for 10 or 12 years and these youngsters were juniors and seniors in college, well, guess what? Now they're married. Now they have families. And they may not work for your company, but they become disciples, not only of your product or service, but they go out and they talk about the experience they had and the kind of people that work for your company.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me that the very base first place to start is just what you care about, I guess. Because this doesn't seem to me to be something that you can just say, well, I guess this is okay, so we'll do this. Something that somebody in the organization is passionate about and is willing to put some effort above and beyond the 40-hour week into, or 50 or 60, depending on the nature of the job.
Sure. No, it is. And it can be as simple things like people have magazine subscriptions, and all of a sudden they begin to accumulate Men's Health or Success or whatever the magazines may be. Then all of a sudden you find out through contacts that, you know, these magazines could be sent via the USO to the troops overseas, the men and women who are overseas. And so you talk to the folks down there, and the next thing you know, they say, oh, my gosh, this is great. You know, where can we pick them up? And little by little, that word spreads.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't cost anybody anything, but you're helping people, and you're improving their life and their quality of life.
Mm-hmm.